Good weekend to you, my Walking with Jesus friends. When you hear the word generosity, what comes to your mind? And is there a person you think of in particular when you hear generous? I'm grateful to have many such people in my life, and I believe it's one of the attributes God desires in every person who is an authentic, redeemed follower of Jesus Christ. Would you agree? Jesus is the ultimate example of living generosity, and God the Father, sending his son Jesus to earth on his redemption mission, is the ultimate example of a generous father. Let's rejoin King David and a great gathering of Israelite leaders at a historic assembly recorded in 1 Chronicles 28 and 29, taking place near the end of King David's 40-year reign. As we've witnessed in the past few days, this assembly is a defining moment in Israel's history, as David explains that God had selected his son Solomon to be the next king of Israel. And furthermore, God had given David specific plans for the construction of a great temple to be built in Jerusalem for the worship of the God of Israel. A great ingathering of building resources, including very precious items such as silver, gold, and precious stones, had begun. A recruitment of some of the best craftsmen in Israel was taking place. The building plans had been handed over from King David to his son Solomon with explanation that these plans came directly from the Holy Spirit of God. And then a very generous ingathering of personal resources from King David and other leaders took place. Yesterday, we concluded with a time of worship as David broke out in praise, as recorded in 1 Chronicles 29:10-13. But believe it or not, there is yet more God wants to accomplish in this remarkable gathering. 1 Chronicles 29:14 gives us the record of a very powerful prayer which King David next prayed in full voice over all the leaders of Israel gathered for this memorable occasion. It stands as one of the greatest public prayers of all time. It struck the leaders deeply and should be like a bright searchlight looking into our hearts today. It was about 3,000 years ago that David said these penetrating words, but if you listen closely, you can discern how the Holy Spirit of God is applying them to your heart and mind today. As David reflected on all that was taking place, he lifted his arms toward heaven and prayed, "But who am I, Lord, and who are my people, that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, O God, and we have given to you only what comes from your hand. We are aliens and strangers in your sight, as were all our forefathers. Our days on earth are like a shadow without hope. O Lord our God, as for all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name, it all comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you. I know, my God, that you test the heart, and you are pleased with integrity and with honest intent. And now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. O Lord God of our fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, keep this desire in the hearts of your people forever, and keep their hearts loyal to you. And give my son Solomon the wholehearted desire to follow your commands, requirements, and decrees, and to do everything to build the palatial temple for which I have provided." King David paused, tears streaming down his cheeks, his eyes and arms lifted up toward heaven. Silence swept over the crowd like waves. Their arms were lifted up as well, their wet eyes looking heavenward. Some of them knelt down. Others prostrated themselves on the ground before God. This was a holy moment. Nothing more needed to be said. Each person was searching their hearts to see if King David's words accurately reflected their attitude toward their resources and this great ingathering for the temple project. David had boldly proclaimed, "I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity and with honest intent. And now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you." While unseen by human eyes in that moment, a great shadow swept over the crowd as demonic forces, evil spirits sent by Satan, swooped in to taunt and tempt this great gathering. Why do I say that? Because the words David had spoken were fighting words. Deep within every person is greed and selfishness. We are born with it. And no matter where you live in the world or what family you are raised in, no matter if you live in a shack or a mansion, if you walk or ride in a limousine, if you have closets full of clothes or you wear threadbare hand-me-downs, if you need an accountant to handle your complex finances or you live on welfare, every person fights the battle of David's words almost every day. The battle can be summed up with these three questions. First, who owns all that you claim as yours? You, the bank, or God? How did what you have come into your possession? Did you steal it, work for it, inherit it, or invest for it? What power do the financial resources have in your life? Do they own you? As David was following Moses' example by calling for willing-hearted generosity, so David followed the example spoken by Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 8, as Moses warned the Hebrew slaves that if they were not careful, their possessions could captivate their hearts and lead them away from God. Moses had said, "Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God. Oh, you may say to yourself, 'My power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me.' But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth." Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 10 to 18. That's all very true, isn't it, my friends? Every person, everywhere in the world, in every generation, is tempted to greed. And so easily we assume it is our hard work or our wise management of resources which has resulted in what we have. But have you discovered the wonderful freedom and peace of heart when you truly consider, as both Moses and David did, that everything that exists is God's? And all you and I have, God has brought into our lives by his oversight of our lives. Have you come to the understanding that God provides resources to us not only for our survival, but for our participation in what God is doing in our world? God flows his resources through the hands of people he can trust to distribute and use those resources as God directs. That exciting reality positions God's people to be very strategic in our world as God accomplishes his purpose on earth through his people, using our resources, our time, our talents, our abilities, and the things, including finances, God has entrusted to us for his glory. Now let's do as the crowd with King David was doing. Let's ponder the deep, practical truth of all this and filter our thoughts through these powerful words of King David. It all comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you. I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity and with honest intent. What is your response and mine? Now, friends, you know I like searching for worship songs which help us reflect on what God is saying to us, and I found a song filmed in the Philippines, and it's a musical group traveling the streets, bringing the generosity of God's people, both in food and in Bibles. I wonder what the Spirit will say to you through this unusual song, my friends.